with the view from her Jerusalem window. Here's Andrea Simontov.
Shalom, Andrea. How are you?
Tzoraim tovim. I'm good. I'm healthy.
Fufufu.
It's scary out there. It's crazy.
I've got to tell you something, just to put you in the picture. We had our first reported case in South Africa today. It's quite incredible how the fact that there's actually been an incident registered and publicized that's changed the whole atmosphere of everything. It's really quite remarkable. But you in Israel have been living with this for quite a while, haven't you?
Yeah, but I have to tell you, Simon, I'm aware of this. I'm aware. I didn't know that the case was announced, but I come to South Africa for Pesach, for Passover every year, generally. And, I haven't purchased my ticket yet. Because the world is going crazy. My husband just told me that a whole bunch of Israelis were visiting Greece and they've all been, quarantined. They all tested positive. I'm looking to see. Someone told me that the Jerusalem Marathon has been canceled.
Really? Wow, yeah. That is interesting. Just apropos your story about the Greeks, funny, I just read it in the Times of Israel, and I believe it was the other way around, that 21 Greeks visiting Israel returned to Greece and have been diagnosed with the disease. But, hey, what's 21 infections between friends?
I was going to go somewhere with that. We're not talking Greeks now. Okay, so...
Yeah, behave, Andrew, behave. There are people listening to us today. This is not private, exactly. Okay, I wanted to, you're going to tell us.
Yeah, go ahead, talk. It's your show.
Thank you, Andrew. Andrew, election number 3, and you still can't get it together.
You know what? Everyone is so bored. I'll tell you. There's only one good thing. You know, I'm a life coach. We break everything down to, well, you know, what are some of the benefits? Now you say, well, what's the benefit of coronavirus? Yeah. There's no benefit, but there is one benefit.
Uh-huh.
I did not have to talk about Biden and Bernie on my show this morning. There was enough coronavirus news that I didn't. So I think about that also. So supposedly I think he has 58 now. He's stuck at 58. He needs three more seats, three more defectors.
Don't understand, Andrea, I really don't understand, is that my thesis is that Kahol Lavan is basically disaffected Likud. It's only there because certain people were upset with Netanyahu's leadership and started something new. If Netanyahu would step down, you'd have such an enormously powerful mainstream consensus. Why isn't that happening? Isn't it obvious?
No, not so obvious.
Okay, tell me why.
let's move on. But no, it's not obvious, but they will defend. But I have to tell you, one of the highlights of the election night was when Gantz got up to speak. This was pointed out to me. When Gantz got up to speak, apparently, I think it was, Peretz, you know, what's his name? Peretz, the one who used to have the Stalin mustache.
The labor guy. Yes.
Right. So Peretz and Yair Lapid, I mean, the two right-hand guys, they like physically moved away from Gantz. I mean, talk about disgusting. It was talked about on all the shows. It was very, very, very disgusting, very ugly. I think that Gantz just didn't have the staying power, but we'll see where this goes. I think that there's a lot of Bibi love out there. Hard to believe. There's a lot of Bibi love. And I have to tell you, I was just about to, I was going to say pull the lever, but please, we're in the dark ages. We still put little Petex in envelopes here.
Okay.
I was going to switch my vote, and I was going to go with Yamina this time. And at the last minute, I just remembered Naftali Bennett, who I have been growing increasingly impressed with. He stood up the other night, and he walked off of a hard-hitting left-wing interview. He walked out of there because he didn't like the interviewer. And it was so childish and so immature and so unleadership worthy that I said, I want him in the cabinet, but I'm not meriting him with my vote. And I did what I do.
Incredible, because you had told us a week ago that that was where your vote was going. So, you know, good on you to being open to change. Yeah, I just...
But I'm not open to immaturity. I'm not open to childishness, and I'm not open to dangerous childishness. This is... We're on the front lines. We can't even make big decisions. I don't even know how they're going to handle this coronavirus here. Oh.
And
every time someone says hello to my husband, this is most important. Every time someone says hello to my husband, what are you doing for Purim Suda, for the Purim meal? Do you know what he does?
No idea.
He invites them over.
But that's not so smart, given what's happening in Israel right at the moment, isn't it?
And it's even less smart because I don't have a kitchen. I don't have
My kitchen
was torn out. So he's just inviting people, and I'm hoping somebody will have coronavirus fear and think that we're not a good place to be.
You know, it's interesting because from a religious perspective, I've been doing a bit of reading, and apparently certain rabbis have said the kissing of the Torah has to stop, the kissing of mezuzot has to stop. Another article I read saying that apparently these big beards are not exactly virus-friendly either.
Right, not hygienic. Somebody asked me on my show this morning, I even mentioned it. You know, I always found, personally, I find the idea of kissing mezuzahs, not because of germs. To me, it smacks a little bit of idol worship. Nowhere does it say you have to kiss a mezuzah, and I find it very unappealing. Also, but you stand at the kotel, people putting their lips, big wet lips up against the kotel. Why do they do that? So somebody wrote to me on my show, they said, what about sidurim? I said, kiss your sitter, not someone else's sitter. Yeah, they're telling them, don't go to shul. Yeshiva University is closed through tomorrow and who knows what else.
Is this affecting your life in terms of like Shabbat tomorrow? Is your shul open? Is it life as normal?
My shul, let's talk about normal shuls. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Our shul is very Israeli. You know, it's,
which means what exactly? Come on, tell me. You know, I don't know. What does that mean?
It's there's not a lot of thought going on in there. You know, these people. Oh. Someone sends me an article.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I hope I don't get in trouble for this one. I'm not going to say the writer's name. She publishes an article. This is a woman with whom I've been friendly. Publishes an article that talks about the coronavirus being a direct result. It's being laid out for the coming of Moshiach, for the coming of the Messiah, and that certain places are being punished because of bad business practices, i.e. China, bad treatment of animals, i.e. eating them raw in your stew. And it was the most outrageous, hubris-filled article, and yet what was very scary was there were things in this article that I actually, on a personal level, sort of, kind of, found appealing, and yet, I can say with great candor, there's some stuff, just shut up. Don't write things. Don't say everything. You sound stupid. And you know what else you sound like? It sounds like these people who said, the reason that people were killed in the ovens of Poland and Germany was because they weren't celebrating Shabbos. Well, you tell
that
to the parents of
the
babies.
That's just vile. You know, I've heard stories of xenophobic violence being directed against Chinese people, and I just think, like, what is the matter with people? Really, what is the matter with people? Not to say that when I walk past a group of Chinese people, I don't kind of hold my breath for a short while because, you know, you do what you got to do. But to really go and bash people up because of an ethnic origin, because of a deed, it's just – people are just insane.
Well, you know, Simon, I think I've shared this with you. I am an equal opportunity hater. I just can't stand anybody, okay? Jews are not on the top of my list. Non-Jews, very low down there. No one. I'm hating everyone today, and I'm really doing well.
I made an
alcohol spray. I spray everything in the house. I have clients. I work one-on-one with clients. It's scary. You know, okay, we're joking around. No more joking. One thing that makes me think that this thing can be a little realer than those who are a little bit flippant about it. The lawyer in New York who's still hospitalized, I know we're on the air, and you're going to go off to your insane news breaks, okay? Anyway, the lawyer in New York, a religious guy, he has an ongoing respiratory condition. They say that these people are more susceptible. He's in Columbia Presbyterian, I think. Anyway, his wife checked positive. His daughter checked positive. His son, who goes to YU Law School, I think, checked positive. So this can make a little bit of sense. Are you ready?
Yeah.
The neighbor that drove him, that did a chesed and drove him to the hospital, tested positive. Now that to me is a grand sit up and take notice statement. You remember the early days of the AIDS diagnosis. We didn't know who the first victim was. 1981, he was identified. People were terrified in the streets. They just thought if you waved at anybody, and then later it came down. It wasn't so easy to contract AIDS. It wasn't so easy. But this is really wicked stuff, and people are being marginalized. And you're right. People are being abused. They're going to be abused and yelled at. And I even heard the anti-Semite said now, because Israel will be the one to find the vaccine. You know what the buzz is. We created it.
I was wondering when that would happen. That took a little longer
it's already
than I
happening.
Thought, actually.
Of course we're going to get it because we invented it in the first place.
We're going to have to leave it there, Andrew, which is a huge shame because I just so enjoy speaking to you. But just very quickly before I leave you, one of our listeners says...
You want to know about Ben-Gvir? Okay.
I did, but I don't have time to. I've got a huge smile on my face. That kind of makes me. Yeah, he didn't do too well, did he? But one of our listeners, Karen, wants to know if she can come for Purim. I reckon if she was around, your husband would have invited her. So no problem. I'll tell
Karen,
her yes from you.
Come on over, Karen. We have please, Karen. You're invited. Okay.
Andrea, as always, a huge pleasure.
I know Karen.
Stay well, stay safe, Shabbat Shalom, and we'll chat same time.
Shabbat Shalom and Purim Sameach.
And Purim Sameach, I forgot about that.